Why doesn't God make himself more obvious? Have you ever thought that? If God is really God, and if God is really here, why not a burning bush in the middle of Oxford Circus? I mean, that would get people's attention, right? Why not part the River Thames? Why not bring Peaches Geldof back from the dead? I mean, that would hit the front pages. That would get people's attention. Why not make it more obvious? Especially when today, culture around us, the militant atheists will tell us that faith is unreasonable, faith is contrary to reason, faith lacks evidence. Well, why doesn't God give us more evidence? Make it obvious. I've got friends that say to me, you know, Mark, if only God, you know, gave me a sign, if only he made it obvious to me, you know, then I'd believe. You know, we might think, if we're a Christian here today, we might think, well, yeah, why don't you, God? Give them a sign. Give me a sign so I can truly believe and truly stand up for you. In our passage today, Jesus Christ gives us that sign. And this is not just any sign. It is the sign for belief in Jesus Christ. The sign which stands at the center of history, it's a sign for anyone, anywhere, for all time. Now, what is that sign? We'll have a look at the second half of verse 39. Jesus speaking, he says, but none will be given it except the sign of the prophet Jonah. Now, what does that mean? What is this sign of Jonah? Well, Jesus goes on, for as Jonah was 3 days and three nights in the belly of a huge fish, so the Son of Man will be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. What is Jesus saying? Jesus is saying, here is your sign. It is the sign of Jonah, this preacher who was left for dead 3 days, three nights in the belly of a fish, but then brought back to life. And just as he was 3 days, three nights in the belly of a fish, so will I be 3 days, three nights in the heart of the earth. Not just left for dead, but truly dead, but then brought back to life. Jesus saying, you want a sign? Here it is, my resurrection. Jesus Christ being brought back from the dead to eternal life. And if we think about it for a moment, I mean, that is quite a sign. I mean, what a sign that is. All the medical advances since Jesus' time, 2,000 years, we've not even come close to dealing with death, the shadow of death that hangs over all of us. I was reading a report this week from some professor at a London university saying, you know, we've not even found a cure for the common cold, let alone death. And here is Jesus Christ, risen from the grave, never to die again, to live forever. And so we want God to make himself more obvious, but you know, Jesus was saying, you know, what more do you want? I mean, how much more obvious do you want me to make it? I've come to earth. I've been born as a human being. I've come down to your level so you can see me, hear me, touch me. I walk on water. I feed 5,000. I forgive sin. I defeat evil. I die on the cross for our sin, and I come back to life as well and give you this sign, the resurrection. A resurrection which stands, you know, at the center of history. It splits time in two, B.C., A.D. You know, if only God would give me a sign, then I'd believe. And Jesus says, I've given you that sign. I've already given it to you. So there'll be no more burning bushes at Oxford Circus, I'm afraid. There'll be no parting over the River Thames. But we don't need it, because we've got the one sign that matters, the one sign we all need. There's nothing better than this. The Son of God, risen from the grave. So if we doubt God is there, if friends, colleagues, if they ask us, you know, for a sign, why do you believe? If you want your faith strengthened, then it's to the resurrection that we look. Nowhere else. We don't need any other sign. You know, when doubts come in the Christian life, as doubts do, doesn't mean you're not a Christian. What matters is what we do with our doubts. And Jesus says, look, doubt your doubts with the resurrection. You know, when we have those times when we think, you know, is this whole Christian thing just made up? Am I just believing, you know, a complete lie? Am I just believing it to make sense of my life? I look around, I see a lot of people, they don't believe, and I can see them, and that's real, but where's God? Can't see him. When doubts come in, Jesus says, look to the resurrection. This is the foundation of our faith. This is the bedrock of Christianity. That is where you see God. This real event, 2,000 years ago, God walked this earth. It happened. It's a fact. So if your faith is there, your faith is strong. So that's the first thing. This is our sign, the resurrection. But then Jesus goes on to say, well, because you've got this sign, the sign, the one sign you need, it means there's now no excuse for not believing. So have a look at what he says in verse 41. The men of Nineveh will stand up at the judgment with this generation and condemn it. For they repented at the preaching of Jonah, and now something greater than Jonah is here. We just had Jonah 3 reread to us. We saw the way that this evil city of Nineveh repented at the preaching of Jonah. And Jesus is saying, look, the Ninevites repented, and all they got was this third-rate disobedient prophet. But now someone far greater is here, the greatest prophet of all, the Son of God. He's perfect in every way. You know, all Nineveh got, if you remember, was like grumpy old Jonah. He didn't want to go to Nineveh. He didn't want them to be saved. But now, today, we have been given Jesus Christ, the most loving, most compassionate person ever to walk the planet, who longs for us to be saved, who goes through extreme lengths to us, even dies for us. All the Ninevites got were 7 words from Jonah. 40 days, and Nineveh will be overturned. But because of Jesus Christ, we've been given the full revelation of God, his message of salvation. We're holding it in our hands. And Jesus says, look, the Ninevites repented. That's all they had. Look at what you've got. There's no excuse. I've got a younger sister. Growing up, we would fight a lot. Mostly my fault, I have to admit. You know, and we'd get told off by it, mum and dad. You know, what you've done is wrong. And fair play to my sister, because most of the time, she'd be very quick to apologise. But it was very different from me. I would come up with all these excuses. You know, but mum, she started it. But mum, we were only playing. But mum, yeah, I did nothing wrong. Even though I knew full well that I had done wrong. And my mum had told me countless times not to fight. Countless more times she told me than my sister. I was older than my sister. I should have known better than my sister. She'd said sorry. You know, and I should have done too. I had no excuse. And Jesus is saying, well, look, so it is with us and belief in God. That there is no excuse for us not saying sorry to him for our unbelief. When the Ninevites, they did it with so little. And yet we have Jesus Christ, the perfect prophet, the perfect message, his perfect love for us, everything we need to believe. And so Jesus says, look, come the judgment day, we won't be able to say, you know, I didn't have enough evidence. Just need a little bit more reason to believe. Now, if this is your first time here this lunchtime, first time in a church, you have already heard more than the Ninevites ever heard. More of the gospel. And they believe. We have no excuse. And can I just say, that's probably tough to hear. I mean, it is tough words. These are strong words from Jesus. They are tough to hear, but we need to hear. And they are loving words, because he wants us to be saved. And it's vital we hear them, especially, as I said before, in a culture today which says, you know, faith is unreasonable. Bertrand Russell, the famous atheist, he's on his deathbed. And one of his friends says to him, what if you're wrong? You know, what will you say to God if you're wrong? He said, I'll tell you what I'll say. I'll say, God, why didn't you give me more evidence? And that is tragic. That is a tragic story. Because Jesus Christ is saying, look, that is not the problem. The problem's not lack of evidence. I've given you every evidence, all you need to believe. You won't be able to say that on Judgment Day. I've come to earth. I've died for you. I've risen from the grave. I've given you all. It's written down here. And we need to believe. We all do. I say this to myself. We all need to believe. We need to repent. And before it's too late. Well, look, that begs the question, yeah? Why do some people then still not believe? I mean, if Jesus has given us this sign, and it's the sign and the most obvious sign, and if we're all without excuse, why then do people still not believe? Well, the Bible has several answers to this question. One of them comes just at the start of the passage there. So the Pharisees and the teachers of the law, they come up to Jesus and they say, look, teacher, we want a sign from you. And we think, fair enough, right? Not every day that God appears on earth, quite a claim Jesus is making. Okay, well, if you've got a sign, can you back it up? But then look at Jesus' response in verse 39. What did you think when this was being read out to you? Jesus says, a wicked and adulterous generation asks for a sign. I'm not sure what you make of that. I mean, does it surprise you to hear Jesus speaking like that? It seems a little harsh. You know, what is going on here? Why does Jesus speak like this? Well, look, we need to remember that the people Jesus is speaking to here, these are the Pharisees and the teachers of the law. If anyone should have recognized who Jesus was, it was them. The whole of the law, the whole of the Old Testament pointed to Jesus Christ. And these guys studied it. These guys taught it as teachers of the law. They preached through the book of Jonah. You know, they had the sign. They don't need any more signs, and yet they're asking for a sign. Why? Because they refuse to believe the evidence they have already been given. They don't want to believe the scriptures. They don't want to believe that Jesus is who he says he is. He stood right there before them. Do you know what Jesus has just done? He has just healed a demon-possessed man who is both blind and mute. And do you know what they say? They say, well, it must have been by the devil. They don't deny the miracle. They just do not want to believe that Jesus is who he says he is. And that, by the way, is why Jesus calls them wicked and adulterous. Because Jesus knows they have turned from God. These are the teachers of the law, the Pharisees. They have turned from God, they have turned from his word, and they do not want Jesus in charge of their lives. And so their problem, it's not lack of information. Their problem is inclination. They don't want to believe. Just to be clear on this, Jesus is not saying it's ever wrong to ask for a sign, right? Some people have never heard about Jesus Christ. Some people don't have access to Bibles in their country. Of course, people need a sign there, and Jesus has got that sign. It's the sign of Jonah. That's where we point people to the resurrection of Jesus Christ. But this is not the case here. These are people who knew it all. They had their Bibles. They had plenty of information. But at the heart of it all, they didn't want to believe. And it's interesting, because I'm not sure about you, but I you know, as a minister in the Church of England, I have many conversations with people about Jesus. And a lot of the time, it comes to the stage where people are quite happy to accept intellectually that Jesus is who he says he is the Son of God. And they're quite happy to accept intellectually that he did die on the cross, and that there is more sort of evidence in support of his resurrection than there is against it. That they're happy sort of on an intellectual level, but they still don't want to believe. And at times I've been able to probe a little bit, and they've been honest to say, look, at the heart of it all, the reason why I'm not believing it, I'm not a Christian, is there's something they don't want to give up. They don't want to give up some relationship. They don't want to give up their independence. They're worried about what others will think. The problem's not information or, you know, they've seen the evidence. It seems to be, it's something that they're an issue of the heart. They don't want to believe. And that is why Jesus says, repent. You know, if our problem is simply a lack of information, it's a read, review, research. He doesn't. He says, repent. He doesn't say collect more evidence. He says, repent. Say sorry for not believing despite the evidence. If only God would give us a sign. You know, then I would believe. But Jesus says, if you don't believe the resurrection, if you don't believe the sign, I could stand here right now in front of you, risen from the dead, and you still wouldn't believe. You would just rationalize it away, a hoax, a lie, some trick, just like people do with the resurrection today. Really interesting to see that at the heart of the human problem is not an intellectual one, it's not a factual one, it is a moral one. By nature, none of us, I speak for myself, by nature, none of us want God to be in charge of our lives. So we turn our back, we push him away. And it doesn't matter how much evidence is put before us. If we don't want him in charge, we'll keep rationalizing it away. Give us a sign, give us a sign, give us a sign, but never believing. And so we need to recognize our motives, recognize this, and be honest about them. Realize we've got a vested interest in this. I mean, if Jesus is who he says he is, I mean, there's going to be huge implications for our lives. And perhaps we don't like it. But let's be honest to ourselves, to God, look, Lord, I'm struggling with this. I don't want you to be in charge. But help me with it. And it's why we need to be praying for our friends and colleagues, because we cannot reason them intellectually into the kingdom of heaven. We need a change of heart. And it's why we ourselves, if we're Christian believers here today, we need to keep turning our hearts back to God. Because there are many ways every day that we don't respond to the evidence that we're given. And we need to repent. And we need to say sorry and receive his forgiveness and ask him to change, because every day of the Christian life is a day of repentance. Well, let's do that now in prayer. Let me pray for us. Let's pray. Father God, we all want a sign from you to know you're there, to know you're real. And how we thank you very much indeed for these words from Jesus that remind us that you have, in his resurrection, given us the one sign, the only sign we need, the sign above all other signs. And so I pray if we are ever doubting your existence, you are already there, you would help us to focus on the resurrection. And know that is the foundation of our faith, this objective reality in history. And I pray, Father God, you would move each and every one of us back to you. Turn our hearts back to you in repentance and faith. We know the problem ultimately is not factual, not intellectual. It is moral. It's our hearts. And we need to do that in us that we may live for you and love you more and more today, this week, and beyond. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.